Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we have updates from Elon Musk on how the FSD beta rollout is going to happen. We've also got some news and rumors out of China, updates on Tesla Energy, Gigapresses, and a couple other items as well. Kind of a wild day in the markets today. The NASDAQ was down 2.8%. This is the worst day for the NASDAQ in the last 6 months, and the fourth worst day in the last 12 months. Despite that really poor macro environment, Tesla holding up pretty well today, though it was a bit of a roller coaster, ending down 1.7% to $777.56. All right, first up here, we finally have a little bit more information on exactly how the FSD beta rollout is going to happen. Last night, Elon tweeting, "Wow, a lot of interest in FSD beta. Plan is to roll out version 10.2 midnight Friday, then on-ramp about 1,000 owners per day, prioritized by safety rating." He then clarified that he meant a week from Friday, so this would be Friday, October 8th, for 10.2, and then on-ramp about 1,000 owners per day. Of course, yesterday we went through the safety score beta. The question was asked to Elon what the minimum safety rating to get the beta was. Elon says, quote, "First few days, probably 100 out of 100, then 99, 98, etc." End quote. So a lot more clarity than we have had, and a seemingly pretty big advantage for those perfect or near perfect scores. As I would imagine, this is probably a pretty sharp bell curve, so the area under the curve growing probably pretty quickly as scores drop off from 100. Now that's just a guess, but it is based on the scores I've seen so far and just the formula that Tesla is using to calc the scores. So we could sit here and try to do a bunch of calculations based on number of vehicles sold in the United States, an assumed FSD take rate, try and figure out how many are in the queue and how long a certain score might take to get the beta. But note here that Elon says first few days, probably 100 out of 100. So even he is not sure on exactly how this rollout is going to go. I don't think it's worth spending a ton of time trying to figure out your exact place in line. Just try to get the best score that you can get. And my guess is that Tesla's not going to stick to some fixed rollout plan. They'll probably start slowly, see how things go, and if things are going well, expand more rapidly. At least for now, though, we've got a date and an initial rollout plan. All right, next we've got a couple of updates on China. The first is on a story that we talked about yesterday, which is the power shortages that China is facing and the potential supply chain impacts that these are having. Elon replying today to a Slashdot article on this topic, saying, quote, "This is a serious concern," end quote. So as I said yesterday, I had heard that this is something that may impact Tesla and was worth continued monitoring, and it looks like Elon now confirming that. Not necessarily that there have been problems so far, but that there may be in the future. Fortunately, I don't think Q3 would be affected much, if at all, by this, but just another supply chain issue to keep our eye on as we head into Q4. Speaking of Q3, though, we do have to hop into the rumor mill here for a second, and that is because we got an interesting tweet a little bit before market close today from Twitter user Tesla Shanghai, which simply says 50,000 plus alongside the Tesla stock hashtag. So we've talked about this account before. Basically, all that they tweet about are China sales numbers ahead of time, retail or wholesale. And we've followed these because the track record has been really good. So you may remember that I've put this all into a table just so we could see how the track record was shaping up. Looked really good until the last couple of months where this account started giving out numbers before the month had ended. And those seemed much, much less reliable. So for June, about a week before the month end, they said Tesla China vehicle delivery has been locked, Q2 sales down 16% from Q1. Then almost a week later, on the last day of the month, they tweeted update, Q2 sales down 11% from Q1. That update then ended up being very close, so clearly they've got some sort of information here, but the information that they have shared before the end of the month has been incorrect. This happened again for August numbers. So on August 29th, again before the end of the month, they tweeted that Tesla China sold 10.4 thousand in August, but then a few days later upped that to 14.8 thousand in August. Now the numbers that I have for August are 12.9 thousand. To be fair, the August reporting has been a little bit strange. Anyway, the main point is that the track record is mixed. It's mixed enough that we can't count on this number being correct, especially because this is one of those instances where the tweet is happening before the end of the month. So you might say, well, why even talk about it? Why amplify something like that? It's because I kind of have to. This is part of the online Tesla discussion now. It would be an omission if I didn't talk about it. I would get questions, and hopefully, even though it's a rumor, the analysis still helps. For what it's worth, somebody did ask the Tesla Shanghai account, how confident are you in that figure? And they replied, 100%. So moving beyond track record and just kind of assessing the plausibility of a number like that, I do actually think it is relatively plausible. If we look at this production and wholesale sales tracking sheet, you'll be reminded that even though we are coming off of a month in August, where production was below wholesale sales, meaning inventory was drained down. Despite that, the net for the year actually does favor production by the tune of about 7,000 vehicles. And interestingly enough, almost, well, more than all of that is actually falling into Model Y, where there's been about 12,000 more production units than units that have been reported in wholesale sales. Two-thirds of that has come in the last 2 months in July and August. So the point that I'm getting to is that I would be surprised if Model Y sales in September do not outpace production. As we have talked about a couple of times now, it looks like the rumors for September production for total Shanghai, Model 3 and Model Y, are somewhere around 45,000 or so. So we wouldn't have to see sales be all that much higher to get to that 50,000 number sales, even if production is around that 45,000 level. And I also happen to actually think that production might come in a little bit higher than that. Of course, if it is just driven by extra deliveries draining down inventory, then I care a lot less about that than if it comes from higher production. So we'll see. We should get the final production and delivery numbers worldwide. We probably won't get the China breakdown, but we should get the worldwide numbers officially reported from Tesla on Saturday, and I'll do my estimates sometime later this week before then. Moving on then, quick update here on Tesla's Gigapress. Obviously, they sourced those from Idra. We've talked about this in the past. Interestingly, Idra today posted a teaser video for a, I guess, documentary season or something that they're doing on Gigapresses. So they posted a short 55-second video just kind of previewing this season, which it looks like they are calling Gigapress Uncovered. And it looks like they're set to premiere this season on October 4th. So I know a lot of people just have a general interest in those machines, and it might be interesting to see if there are any Tesla nuggets buried within these videos from Idra. The other quick item here, tangentially related to the Gigapress, is that there is this, again, potato-quality video of the Cybertruck that is going around online. People are calling it a new version, seemingly based entirely on the fact that you can't see the door handles, but again, the quality is so low, just like the picture that we had, I don't know, 2 weeks ago from LinkedIn, that I just really don't think there's much to support that. So just like that last instance, I'm going to assume that it is the current version until something more conclusive shows up. Next, we've got some pretty big news on Tesla Energy. A renewable energy company called Aerovon today announced that they have secured a 2-gigawatt/6-gigawatt-hour supply of Tesla Megapacks. This one contract would be 50% more energy storage than what Tesla deployed in the entire last 12 months across both retail and utility. Based on the pricing of Tesla's order Megapack page, which only lets you do 1,000 Megapacks at a time, which is 3 gigawatt hours, so there'd be two of those, it looks like this would be a $1.7 billion order. So it's awesome to see this. Unfortunately, there doesn't appear to be a timeline associated with this press release. All they really say is that by the end of this year, they'll have overseen construction and operation of 1,000 megawatt hours of Tesla Megapacks, but I'm not sure how much they had before this announcement. The other Tesla energy news that we have, this is reported by reneweconomy.com.au, is that Tesla and partner Neoen have been given the all clear to resume commissioning of the big battery project in Victoria after, if you remember, a fire had broken out during testing back in July. So they figured out the issue. Apparently, one of the Megapacks was in offline in a service mode, and going offline had removed fault protections. So a fault went undetected, that then led to a fire. But that's now been figured out, resolved for Tesla's global Megapack fleet. So probably not the preferred way of finding that out, but again, it was during testing and now has led to improvements across all Megapack projects. So glad to see that, and hopefully that also means that the Victorian Big Battery project can start being utilized soon. All right, rounding out the Tesla portion of the news, we do have an update here from Alex Potter of Piper Sandler. He issued a note last night saying, quote, "We are reiterating our overweight rating and boosting our 2021 estimates after conducting our quarterly review of worldwide electric vehicle sales. We think Q3 will be Tesla's strongest quarter ever, and we are increasing our 2021 estimates accordingly," end quote. So still keeping the $1,200 Tesla price target they have, the highest on the street. Remember, ARC's price target is for 2025. This would be a one-year price target. Anyway, Piper Sandler now expecting Q3 deliveries of 233,000 units and full year deliveries of 894,000. Doing the math on that would suggest that they expect 275,000 vehicles to be delivered in Q4. They also note that they are more interested in margins than deliveries because they think margins could be particularly strong in Q3. And I think you all know that I very, very much agree with that. All right, next we've got a few pieces of industry news to cover as well, the most prominent being an update from Ford. They've announced an $11.4 billion investment across Tennessee and Kentucky. to build 3 battery factories and what sounds like the manufacturing facility for the next generation electric F-Series pickups. The 3 battery factories are expected to be able to produce 43 gigawatt hours per year apiece, so 129 gigawatt hours total, probably enough for about 1.3 million electric vehicles, give or take a couple hundred thousand. So, kind of exciting to see, but they don't expect to start production with these facilities until 2025. One thing that I did also see in this press release that, I don't know, maybe I've just missed it elsewhere, but they did say that, quote, overall, Ford expects 40 to 50% of its global vehicle volume to be fully electric by 2030, end quote. Now, that still may not be enough, but the current U.S. administration has talked about targeting 40 to 50% electrified vehicles, including plug-in hybrids, so this is actually a much better target from Ford than a 40 to 50% number, including hybrids. Next up is a developing story that actually came out last week, but I'm just seeing it now. This is, and stop me if you've heard this before, related to Volkswagen and software that is manipulating emissions testing. The case has been brought by consumers in Austria, and it's in regards to a piece of software that controls a valve that recirculates exhaust gases, which I guess then reduces emissions, but the software will shut that valve off at temperatures outside of 15 to 33 degrees Celsius, 59 to 91 Fahrenheit, and at altitudes above 1,000 meters or 3,280 feet. I'm not clear if the valve only shuts off if both of those conditions are true, but the average temperature in Germany is below 15 degrees Celsius, and same thing in Austria. So obviously it would be driving in these conditions a lot. So the case is that this software-controlled valve is an emissions test defeat device. Volkswagen's argument is that the valve is necessary to prevent immediate and sudden damage to the engine, which is the only way that this would be legal, but the Court of Justice of the European Union Advocate General notes that this sort of software would be illegal if that is not the case. Apparently, this is left for the Austrian courts to decide, and overall, it sounds like a pretty frustrating situation. Apparently, one court already said that it was impossible to determine whether it was necessary or not. So I don't know if or when we'll see an update on that, but still stuff like that going on. Last couple of quick things then. Lucid today announced that they have started production for customer quality Lucid Air vehicles and that they expect customer deliveries to begin in late October, so in about a month. Finally then, there has been a fuel shortage happening in the UK, so people unable to get gasoline, petrol for their cars, which reportedly, anecdotally, is driving more interest in electric vehicles. Not sure that Google Trends data totally supports that. We've seen a huge spike in interest in petrol searches in the UK from Google Trends over the last 30 days. EVs, up a little bit, more of just a small increase from a relatively local low. Nevertheless, you would definitely expect it to increase interest, and I'm sure it can't hurt. So with that, that is where we'll leave it for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Wednesday, September 29th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.